The first time I met Dave was during his informal lunch interview with my boss, Marie. I worked for a high-end department store, and Dave was transferring from another branch. He was tall and stylish, with a thick head of hair and a healthy 5 o'clock shadow. Legend had it that he had sold so many shoes at his previous location that he won a free car. Marie was enthralled. Usually during job interviews, the interviewee tries to impress the boss. Not today. Marie didn't ask any questions. Instead, she layered on compliment after compliment. "Everyone in Houston says wonderful things about you," she gushed. "Well, I definitely didn't do it alone," Dave demurred. "A good team culture is critical for success." Later, Marie asked me and two other salespeople to take Dave to dinner. We went to a delicious but tiny Italian restaurant that was famous for feeding only 6 people at a time. The table was probably meant for 2, but was set for 4. Dave sat down first and immediately whisked one of the place settings to the other side. The 3 of us were left facing him like a squished panel of judges. "I want to see you when we talk," he said, smiling, elbows spread out wide, knees agape. Sandwiched between 2 men, I clenched my thighs together. I'm left-handed, so eating comfortably was out of the question. Dinner was fine at first. Everyone wanted to hear about how Dave won the car. But once we started talking to him as friends instead of sycophants, he turned a bit sour. Having taken a 3-week sommelier course in Napa, he insulted the real sommelier multiple times. "This is a cab blend, obviously." He sent his dessert spoon back, not once, but twice, because it was the wrong size. The next day was Dave's first on the floor selling shoes. Whenever the regional manager was within earshot, Dave was lovely. He gently coached the newest salesperson on how to upsell a client, confident yet not overbearing. But as soon as the manager left, it was a different story. I overheard him say to someone, "I'm worried about what Tessa is doing. Doesn't she know how to use a shoehorn?" I felt embarrassed. It went from bad to worse thereafter. Left to his own devices, Dave would steal customers from other salespeople and rearrange shoes in the storage room so it was impossible to find anything, insisting, of course, that this was how shoes were arranged in the Houston store. We were all convinced that he hid the size 10s from the rest of us. 10 is the most popular men's shoe size, and you can't make any money without size 10s in stock. When you're mean in retail, word gets around. So you can imagine my surprise when I walked into Marie's office for a monthly check-in, and she hit me with an enthusiastic, "Hasn't Dave been so great? His sales are through the roof. He also raved about how wonderful it has been working with you and the other team members." Marie was socially adept and had a good radar for troublemakers and shoe sharks, people who steal customers from other salespeople. But clearly Dave had convinced her that he was the whole package. Good with customers, good with the sales team. Over time, Dave came to be known as the kiss-up, kick-down shoe guy. His charming personality and quick wit made him an easy sell to the store managers, and his numbers were so strong there was no denying his talent. But he was competitive and Machiavellian, willing to do anything to get ahead. Dave was causing me emotional strife and costing me sales, and no one with power seemed to know it. I had to do something. Winner take all. Kiss up, kick down coworkers have a singular goal in mind: to climb to the top by any means necessary. To get there, they treat everyone who is at the same level or below them as competition. They reserve their good manners for the people in charge. There's a personality trait called social comparison orientation. It's the degree to which we naturally compare ourselves with other people. We all have the trait, but some of us more than others. When I worked in retail, I compared my sales numbers with Dave's. I've stalked the social media accounts of people from high school to see how much better off their lives are than mine, but I usually know when to quit. Worrying about how much richer, hotter, and happier other people are is a dangerous game to play with oneself. Kiss-up, kick-downers can't turn off the switch. They obsessively compare themselves with everyone, especially similar people. If you have the same job title, pedigree, or hell, even the same size office as a kiss-up kick-downer, beware. They're probably sizing you up regularly. Watch out for people who know just a little too much about you, down to the last penny of your last raise, or how many more months or days they've been at the job than you. Social comparison sleuths like these use their knowledge to devise clever and devastating methods of competition. Some, like Dave, will question your expertise with your coworkers or raise small concerns with the boss.